Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. As I am still dealing with the subject of how to overcome temptation, this is part 126, but we're dealing with the subject of envy. Envy. Our foundational passage for the series is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Our next passage dealing specifically with envy is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation full and free through him, because if a person is truly born again, eventually they are delivered from such foolish sins as envy and not being happy for others genuinely. And so, Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word as well. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Have mercy and grace upon those of us who name the name of Christ, who are still struggling with envy and jealousy. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us, Lord, of our sins, faults, and failures. And help them, Lord, to go on to maturity. We pray that you'd crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to be content with what you are doing in our lives, and to stay busy for you where we don't have time to be envious of other people. And we're living in a nation and a time where a pastime is now to envy other people by watching them online and in social media. So Lord, deliver your children from such foolishness and such a waste of time. We pray for the salvation of the lost, and for the revival of the saved. Thank you for the previous services. And we pray for every preacher servant across this country and around the globe who are preaching your holy word in sincerity. And Holy Father God, every Christian servant of yours, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family life, ministry, protection and provision, blessings upon them across this country and around the globe, especially the people who are suffering in Dallas, the shooting in Dallas, the two individual shootings in Dallas by police officers, and those families that are suffering still today. Comfort them as only you can. and give them your grace to turn their eyes upon Jesus, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Nathaniel Vincent said, how much of hell is there in the temper of an envious man? How much of hell is in the temper, the temperament of an envious man or an envious woman? The happiness of another is his misery. The good of another is his affliction. He can't stand good things happening to other people, and not only that, he or she rejoices when bad things happen to other people. But they never rejoice when bad things happen to them. They can't take it. He looks upon the virtue of another with an evil eye, and is as sorry at the praise of another as if that praise were taken away from himself. Envy makes him a hater of his neighbor and his own tormentor. I told you last week that envy, like bitterness and resentment, will not destroy anybody but you. It will eat your heart out. In fact, that's what people meant when they used to say, eat your heart out, be envious of me. Because that's what envy will do, eat your insides out and destroy you. And so many people today are being destroyed from the inside out. In 1503, Julius II became Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He immediately began a building program to beautify the Vatican. In 1509, he commissioned Michelangelo to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo reluctantly agreed to paint the fresco. Though he insisted he was a sculptor only. Shortly afterward, the Pope commissioned Raphael to paint the frescoes in the papal study. Raphael was 8 years younger than Michelangelo and had become a master painter at age 17. At age 20, he moved to Florence and for 4 years studied under Leonardo da Vinci. Michelangelo and others. During the work at the Vatican, a rivalry erupted between Michelangelo and Raphael. Michelangelo later said of Raphael, all that he ever knew of art, he learned from me. That was not quite true, although Michelangelo did help in Raphael's development as an artist. Michelangelo envied the easier work given to Raphael and the kind treatment Julius showed him. Raphael was envious that Michelangelo had received the most honored spot to paint and the harder work. See, that's how envy will do you. And he had to settle for a lesser area. Their envy toward one another degenerated until they refused to speak to one another. And there are people in the church like that today. There are people in families like that today. Sister and sisters won't speak to each other. Envious. Brothers won't speak to each other. Envious. Wives won't speak to their husbands because they're envious. Husbands won't speak to their wives because they're envious. Envious. Envy. It's like a rottenness in your bones we talked about the other week. And all of this took place while they were supposed to be working for the glory of God. How about that? They were supposed to be working for the glory of God in the Vatican. But they were so envious of each other that they wouldn't even speak to each other. And that's what we have going on in churches today. People who are envious, even among pastors. And we are all supposed to be serving God, and yet people are envious of one another in the house of God, in the church of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this passage, we are told to not be envious of the oppressor. And not to choose any of his ways. Because, like the quote I shared with you, oftentimes a person who is envious, they have some other bad ways about them. They're selfish. They're not in it for God. They're not in it for Jesus. Because, see, if you're in it for God and you're in it for Jesus, you don't care who gets the credit. You just want the job done. Get the job done. Get the job done, man. You don't care who runs the touchdown. The whole team wins if you get the touchdown, man. And everybody can rejoice. If the team wins, and you didn't get the call to run the football into the end zone, and you go over and sulk, and you're sad, and you're crying, you're mad, and the whole team is rejoicing, then there's something wrong with you. Seriously. You're selfish. You're stubborn. You're in it for you. You're not in it for the team. In the church, you're not in it for the glory of God. History shows us that one of the ways to enrich yourself is by oppressing others. On the small scale, an unjust landlord or a cruel loan shark may enrich themselves by oppressing their tenants or debtors. On the large scale, many nations have enriched themselves through conquering other nations or through slavery or economic exploitation. Despite the opportunities that come with oppressing others, Solomon warns us not to do so, and don't join those who do, and tells us why. And I have several reasons why, but I'm just going to deal with one today, I believe. First, the froward is an abomination to the Lord. The proud, the arrogant, the selfish. But his secret, the Bible says, is with the righteous. Froward means proud, arrogant, difficult to deal with. Do you know any people like that? They're difficult, obstinate, always contrary to every good work. You want to work with them, you want to try to help them, you want them to be a part of the team, but you eventually have to get rid of these people if you're going to be successful. They're arrogant, they're proud, they're stubborn, they're mean as the devil. They're never happy about anything, they're never satisfied about anything. They're always Judases with a Judas spirit. The Bible tells us in another book that rebelliousness and disobedience are as repulsive to God as witchcraft or direct consorting with devils and demons. And in this season, contrary to what you think, people who are serving God for real are in a battle with devils and demons, even in their families, even in their churches. But that's how much God hates this sin of pride, and even pharisaic pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft, dealing with, consorting with demons and devils. This is because disobeying God is the same as obeying the devil. When you disobey God, you obey the devil. A long time ago, I preached a message. I was a young preacher and ignorant of a whole lot of things. But I preached a message. It was titled something like Divine Disobedience or Divine Ordained Disobedience. My point was, we need to be disobedient to the devil and obey God. My point was to be disobedient to our flesh and obey God. My point was to be disobedient to the flesh and obey God, and even be disobedient to family members if necessary and obey God. For when you're disobedient to God, you are obeying the devil. You have a stubborn, rebellious witchcraft spirit from hell. And contrary to what you think, nobody wants to be around a person like that. No business wants a person like that. No church wants a person like that. No family wants a person like that. The only thing about family is that you gotta try to work with them. These stubborn people are abominable to God. On the other hand, God bestows his love upon the righteous, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, striving to obey him by his grace and by the power of his Holy Spirit. He gives them a secret joy, and that is so true, that the world does not know anything about. We had a lady in our church who used to bring down the house. Every now and then I wanted to hear her sing this song, "This Joy I Have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This peace I have, the world did not give it to me, and the world can't take it away, and the world does not understand it." And so my question to you this morning, I'm cutting this sermon short. I have at least two more points. My question to you today, dear friend, are you envious and stubborn and rebellious and joining with the oppressors and practicing witchcraft? Probably lost and on your way to hell, a devil's hell. Or are you saved and you're actually happy for all people? I mean, you're happy for people who you see are being praised and they have certain gifts and certain talents. because you have a joy that the world can't take away. You have a peace that the world can't take away. No matter how much somebody else may seem to be blessed, you feel like you're blessed too. And you're content. See, truly blessed people can be happy about other truly blessed people and not envious. But the question remains, do you have this peace? As I come to a close, do you have this joy that the world can't take away? Are you constantly eaten up with envy and jealousy, pride, stubbornness, witchcraft, hatefulness? You are a hypocrite, you are phony, and you are a fake, and you need to repent and get your heart right with the Lord. Stop being envious of other people. And so, dear friend, if you don't have this peace and if you don't have this joy, you need to trust Christ as Savior. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For my Bible tells me, and your Bible says the same, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, have everlasting life in heaven. It's very simple and very easy to be saved, contrary to what some preachers will tell you. It is not hard. Why would our loving God make salvation hard for ignorant and disobedient people? He made it very simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Pray and ask him to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose again. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to go to church or join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to do work in the church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to a preacher or anybody in the church to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, you need to pray this prayer with me. And if you are already saved, you need to pray for me and pray for them to trust Christ as Savior. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have stolen things before. I've lusted after and coveted after people and things before. And I have lied before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.